This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And of course, to my right is Bartholomew Scott.
I'm gonna have to warm up to this a little bit. Y'all jacked up on Mountain Dew. This is still yesterday. This isn't even technically the new day yet.
I'm sorry, Bart. I thought I showed up at 8 o'clock today.
We both came in from Jersey today, man. I flew in. I'll do the 4 o'clock commute every day.
Got here like he was trying out for the afternoon show. Bart rolled in like he happened to be in the neighborhood and stopped by.
What's up? Hey, guys.
Anyway, we got lots to do today. The Yankees win again yesterday against the Reds. You have a triple play that scores a run, which is probably the first time that's ever happened. And now they're even with the Red Sox in the loss column. So the Yankees are back. The New York Mets win against San Diego, which is going to be problematic for the Mets because the more they win against lousy teams, the more they're going to think they can keep winning and not get rid of the players that they have. Now, you've played on teams like that, all of being football.
Fool's gold.
And you've been a fan of teams like that.
This is true.
To me, you still got to recognize you ain't winning a World Series this year. And just because you beat the San Diego Padres don't mean that you shouldn't still do what you should have did a week ago, which is trade Jay Bruce and Addison Reed and all the dudes on the team that have value. Right?
Well, I think there's still time to do that. What are we, about a week out of the trade deadline?
End of the month.
Yeah. It just punishes the fan base because they start to buy the cheese. They start believing in it. And then they're only getting set up for the downfall, man.
Exactly.
Just believe it. Listen, you are bad as you think you are.
What's going to happen is they'll sweep San Diego. They'll win some more games. They'll be like 7 out of the wild card.
Call Timmy up.
And then they're going to say, well, you know Timo's coming up for sure. And then they're going to say, we're going for it, right? And by going for it, to do what they did this offseason, which is bring nobody in, they won't get rid of anybody. And they're going to think because, like you said, fool's gold, hey, we beat San Diego. It's like Boomer says, they're the best of the worst.
Absolutely.
But you're still in the wrong category. You're in the worst category, not the best category.
Look, with DeGrom, you know, as hot as he is, you know, you're always kind of in the fight right now. I think if they can get through a couple of these series, you know, they're going to make it interesting. If
they're they can not get a little,
are they like 12 games back?
Right.
12 games back, it's a wrap, man.
They got to get healthy, man.
Now, I'm going to help you out because I know you're a diehard baseball fan. Bart and I come from a different angle. So I want to just help you from the appropriate angle that you should be coming from. Roy Orbison sang the song. You've probably sung it at some point in a club or karaoke or something in your lifetime. Bart and I might sing it in the shower. You've sung it in front of people. It's over.
It's a wrap.
As soon as you don't think it's over, all you're doing is screwing the fan base more. Like not having enough bobbleheads with Thor's penis hammer on it. That's all it is. So they'll sweep San Diego, right? They'll get themselves, like I'm looking right now, the New York Mets are 9 games out of the wild card.
I know.
They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams ahead of them. It's over. Understand it's over.
If we can just get healthy.
Right.
If was a fifth, we'll all be drunk.
That's exactly true. Look, you know, I don't root against the Mets. I'm obviously a diehard Yankees fan. I just, you know, it's fun when they're sort of in the mix, you know. I'd like to see them get rid of a couple of these pieces too, you know, but they're going to bring Bruce back next year.
I can already tell you have bought in like a lot of Mets fans have. Here's what's going to happen today. You know, Craig, there are 7 games out in the loss column behind Colorado for, you know, one of the wild card spots. 7 games, 10 weeks. We can make that up. Just make it one game a week. We win the wild card.
He just likes to rub it in Mets fans' face.
I know
he's
he
in here in his Yankees jersey. He wants the Mets fans all the excitement just so they can say, "Oh, same old Mets." Come
on,
man.
I got the Mattingly vintage on today. So.
You got the Tom Selleck taco meat just strong on. Is this high def?
It is high def.
This
yes.
is high def. He wore the V-neck with the Tom Selleck / Tarzan.
Oh, that's nothing.
Taco meat going on right here, man.
Man. It is always interesting when an adult wears a jersey to work and while not playing. I always find.
Don't worry. I wanted to get in the spirit.
Yes, it's casual. It's casual Wednesday on the Fan. Constantine, if you're not watching, I'm just listening. Is wearing a throwback Don Mattingly Yankee shirt with a V-neck white T-shirt underneath it. And listen, someone's got to appeal to the women out there.
You know,
it ain't me. It ain't Bart.
I don't know.
Well, Bart
man.
Came from the club, so he came straight from the club today. It's funny coming
I'm
in
bedazzled
this.
Bedazzled today.
It's funny coming in this early or this late because right. you see people like downtown, like. Literally going home from the club
right.
at 4 o'clock
Aren't
in the morning.
Aren't you jealous? There's some that days I come in. There used to be a club right here. I was a green something.
Greenhouse
right on Barrack. Yeah. That's where Rihanna and Chris Brown got into it once
yeah,
or twice.
The glass hit in his face.
Right. That club, like right now, would be jumping still. And Boom and I would come in whatever time, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And there were days when I'd be like, man.
You just want to stop by?
Man, like you want to tell the Uber guy, just pull up for a half hour. I'm going to get a quick drink and see what's going on in the club. Of course, I would have had a glass thrown in my head. Then you have this crazy NFL story, which I think is BS, but I'm glad Bart's here for it. You know, they're still talking CT and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And the headline is, new brain damage study rocks NFL. Which to me is, I don't buy that. And the study is that of all the brains that they've examined, 99% of them had some level of CTE. But the real story should be the only brains they did examine were the ones that were donated to them
from families
of people that thought that, you know, their husbands, you know, brothers, dads, et cetera, were acting strange.
You've had 3 concussions, correct?
Well, we were trying to
so
count
So you're
them.
On deck.
I had a concussion in a Broadway show.
Stop it.
It's dangerous business I do, okay?
Hold on. Now I know that you're sitting next to me,
I can't believe
Bart.
You said that out loud, man.
You want to feel more manly. You want to say things that make you feel accepted in this room. You did not have a concussion performing.
Yes, I did.
Well, no, let's do some Irish line dance. You got kicked in the grill.
No.
You did not have a concussion.
Flying set piece clipped me in the head. Felt a little dazed. I was like, wow.
I'm going to let Bart react to that. Bart, feel free at any point.
That's Glass Joe right there, man. Come on, man. Are you kidding me?
I did not go down. Did not go down. In fact, one time a bouncer headbutted me in the face, and I didn't go down. So I don't go down easy.
So nice. How many concussions have you had in your career?
I think I've had, one on stage, and then I slipped on the ice in my driveway.
In your Uggs?
This past, in my Uggs, getting the newspaper with a little bit of ice, and I fell. It was like Home Alone 3, uh-huh. when Joe Pesci or whatever does the,
Home Alone 1, I hope.
Okay, whichever it is.
3.
Al, have you ever had a concussion 8. In your life? That you're aware of?
I did box that a couple times when I worked WNEW.
Glass Joe.
And I feel like I may have had a concussion, even though I was wearing headgear.
I am not buying the BS in this studio today, man. He just wants to be accepted. Now everybody wants to claim a concussion. Yeah, I played 11 years in the NFL, played ever since I was 8. I had 1 mile concussion. You two guys got clipped in Broadway, and you got clipped at CKO boxing class with the bag comeback, swing back, hit you in the face.
You were the guy doing the hitting, so you knew how to go in and hit.
No, actually, it's for defenders. You know, you think about how Hines Ward, all the crackbacks, all the things, all the rules before that. I played during the dirty days, man, where guys that used to try and high-low you, all that stuff, man. I just was very fortunate to make it throughout my career without having only 1 mile concussion. You know, I don't know if you've ever been around people with concussions. The most annoying people you ever see in your life, man. You can't even be around them.
No.
They will ask you the same question every single time. What happened to me? Hey, man, you got hurt, man. You got clipped. Hey, what happened to me? You got clipped. Man, somebody get this dude out of here, man. I'm trying to concentrate.
So there were guys in the huddle saying that?
Oh, you mean in-game?
In-game. Or if you're sitting on the bench. The worst people to be around. They kill your focus. You know, I've seen guys cry on the sideline. The Luke Kuechly thing was nothing new to me.
You've seen that many times. Plus, there's that one time you stole a man's soul. You know, so he's even on the other side. Eddie, you ever have a concussion in your life or no?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Well, so that's a no.
With a ponytail like that, man, he got a built-in helmet.
That's right.
He falls backwards. It's like a pillow. It's funny, though, that there's a thing about being men. where, you know, that conversation comes up, like, everyone's got to come up with, yo, I had one once. Like, it makes you more manly. Like, nothing, not for nothing, Constantine. You did not get a concussion singing in Jekyll and Hyde in Frisco. I don't care.
This happened.
You
okay.
were dazed because you were in San Francisco and Hayden Ashbury right around the corner. And I'm not saying I wouldn't have did the same thing, but that's why you were dazed for a day and a half. Not because something clipped you in the head.
I'm telling you, it was not fun. Wait, let me. I wanted to ask you this. I always wanted to ask this. Do they really follow the protocol? Players.
They do now, yeah.
I mean, do they go and sit in, like, dark rooms, no television, no flash, you know, there's all these rules.
It's different degrees. It's different degrees of it, and we have more information than we had before. And what it's really about when you have a concussion, it's about making sure that you allow the brain time to heal, because when you have one, it's easier to get the second one. So before, you know, guys used to have concussions, and they felt the pressure to have to go back on the field early, either in the same game. And you know, I speak about the one time that I had a mild concussion. We were playing the Tennessee Titans, and I got clipped in the temple by Travis Henry at the time. And he was upset because he had child support payments that was behind. So it took maybe a quarter. It took me maybe a quarter to realize that I had one. And I got the rainbow. You get the, you know, you got different ones where guys are – I had the sensitivity to light. But unfortunately – Ray wasn't playing that game. His backup, or my backup, the third string, tore his shoulder up the first play of the game. And then we had a guy that we literally called up from practice squad. And if I leave, there's nobody to play middle linebacker. So, you know, I put on the visor, you know, covered it up, and I finished and played through it. I was fine after that. You know, that's why I consider it was a mild concussion, because I still had my memory. I still knew what right. I was saying. I just couldn't look at something without seeing, you know,
that's amazing. Yellow Clovers. How many years ago was that?
That was 2005.
See, now that, so they gave you the dark visor, so you wouldn't have to see light.
Well, I told them to give me the dark visor.
Right. Yeah, like, if that happened today, it'd be like the biggest scandal in football, right?
Absolutely.
Like, why is Bart Scott wearing a visor?
These guys now are soft, man. Come on, man. That's what happened. We conditioned these kids to have soft skulls, man. These guys are weak. It's like Friday.
And by the way, I should tell you the Al boxing story. He boxed a blind man, one-armed. Didn't he have an arm tied behind
his
back?
No, that was a different show. I boxed another producer.
I thought you boxed a blind guy.
No, that was a different guy.
Was it Tooth the Truth Williams?
Who did you buy? Another able-bodied?
You got to be an OG to know that one.
Full sight, the whole thing?
Yeah, the guy, it was Joe Pooh was his name, and he was heavier than me, and I had never practiced with headgear on. And then when I put the headgear on, my peripheral vision went out the window, right. So I would see him winding up, and right. then I would see
what kind of reaction you got.
I just stood there like this.
The wind up left your peripheral vision, came out of nowhere.
It left my peripheral vision, and then all of a sudden, I was hit in the head.
Did you have your hands up?
Not high enough.
He figured I have a mask on. I'm
going to
be protected.
He throwing the Rocky Balboa, Clubber Lane type of punches, and you just getting hit every time.
I was like this.
Well, you try to tire his fist out with your face. That's one method.
That didn't work.
You kind of remind me of a guy that's used to getting hit. Like, were you bullied?
No, not at all. I never got in any fights.
Who would want to fight out of
yeah,
school?
I was good.
He kept his head down, he did his homework, he went home. I was
like camouflage. I could fit in with anybody.
Hey, look, man, let me get a dollar. Here you go.
Meanwhile, so the Yanks win, the Mets win, everyone's winning right now. The CT stuff comes out. And we've learned a little something about LeBron James with this Kyrie Irving mess. And listen, I don't think Kyrie's coming to the Knicks, but I would love him to come here. And what we've learned is this. For not even arguably the best basketball player of his generation, the reason he is not Michael Jordan and will never be thought of as Michael Jordan, this might be the most sensitive, insecure dude I've ever heard of in my life who's at the level he's at as a ball player, right? Like the greats of the greats. The Jordans of the world, they're assassins. No one messes with them because they'll fight you, legitimately put, you know, a fist in your mouth and fight you at any point. You want to play ping pong? They can try to beat you 21-0. You want to go out and go for a run? They can try to lap you. You want to talk about women? They're going to take yours. You want, whatever you want to do, they're badass guys and assassins in every aspect of their lives. The same with LeBron and Kyrie Irving is frankly a joke, no?
Dude. Come on, the NBA. I'm a little south on the NBA altogether. You're talking about the greatest time. I mean, that's when I was into the league last. After Jordan left, I mean, this whole, you know, let's join the Heat, all these guys on the same team. I've just been south on the league for years. I still love basketball. I love LeBron. I love the star power. I love the game. But I think the league...
Well, because they're all sensitive now.
Yeah, we would call him Baby Sensi. We had nicknames for that. Baby Sensi, we say skin like a deer. You know, you know, rule number three for us when I was with the Ravens or the Jets is have skin like an armadillo. And he hears everything. He reads everything. I thought he was on vacation. He said no Wi-Fi, no nothing, but he's still chiming in.
Yep, and he's the most sensitive all-star, great player I've ever seen. So the big thing with him and Kyrie is that the report comes out that he wanted Kyrie traded. Everyone knew that. He runs the team. And that he may have actually said, I'll beat his ass, too.
Traded for who?
And then that comes out, I don't want to fight Kyrie Irving. I didn't want him traded, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is this. The reality is that LeBron James sucks at losing. And he's lost a lot, obviously. He's also won a lot. And you talk about guys' legacies. His legacy should be championships with two different cities.
Yeah.
But that ain't going to be his ultimate legacy. It's going to be that he bitched and complained because Golden State had more superstars than he had.
And he started this. Well, you can argue that it started with Boston, but he took it to a whole nother level with the decision. And the same thing can make you laugh and make you cry. And it's LeBron, the GM, that got LeBron, the player, in trouble because he had the modern-day athlete that he needed in Wiggins, but he wanted it right now, and he forced a trade.
Yep.
And now he wished that he had a guy like Wiggins that can play the wing, that was athletic, that can give him time off. So he needs to be mad at LeBron, the GM, and not mad at Kyrie Irving. Listen, if I'm Kyrie Irving, listen, I played underneath Ray Lewis, right? Everything I did was because Ray Lewis told me, he coached me up or he willed me to be in the right position. And at some time, you want to make sure that you get the credit for what you do. And also, listen, I don't want to have to march to the beat of LeBron's drum. You're not about to tell me that you're going to dictate to me my career. First of all, you got all these old bums around me. You got your friends. Who's a guy that just went out to Phoenix to be the Jones kid? He shouldn't even been in the league for the last 4 years. So that's like you're already playing shorthanded.
Right.
Then you look up. He brings in Tristan Thompson. You pay a man $80 million to get you five rebounds and five fouls and set five picks because you got the same agent.
Right.
And you're eventually going to have your own agency.
Right.
Then you. So if I'm Kyrie, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take control over my narrative, and I'm not going to let you leave me empty-handed with all these bums, Kyle Korver, and all these guys when you run out of town next year. I'm going to leave before you and take control of my own career because I'm not going to be stuck here with some bums and go from being in the playoffs and in the finals every year to being the eighth seed or the seventh seed, and everybody's saying, look at Kyrie. He can't lead a team.
Yeah, no, Kyrie's doing everything right. He's saving his career. Absolutely right.
Peace.
Should. And that's why Carmelo's not going to Cleveland now either.
Why would I?
Because he's going to go there, and a year later, he's going to have nobody but J.R. Smith.
And LeBron already knows that he doesn't have enough, no matter who they bring in there, to beat Golden State. So he's looking to hightail it out of town and leave Cleveland and say, listen, I got you your championship. But look how he's leaving the team.
Yep, in shadows.
Same thing he did in Miami.
Yep. They'll have nothing left.
Kick rocks, and then look, you stuck with Bosch and giving him a max deal, and that was one of the worst decisions that ever happened. Now you got Gorgas or whatever the guy's name is. I don't even know.
We'll get into all that stuff. We'll get your calls, Yankees, the Hoops, the Mets. And if you're a Met fan, you're in a weird spot. You know for what's going on. Yankees, of course, you're in a fantastic spot because they are the Yankees.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.